Third section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Project 2. This is Shirley Stolzer, along with Mari Lurie, who are interviewing this morning, Valentine's Day, 2/14/91, Mr. Albert Raisman, and we're in his office. And Mr. Raisman, would you just state your name and address? Thank you.
Albert Raisman, 5048 Fifth Avenue. Apartment 304, Pittsburgh, 15232.
Thank you. Mr. Raisman, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your family of origin, perhaps eventually your family today, where you came from, etc.
Well, my mother and father were both born in Russia. They came to the United States individually. They married here in the United States, and he lived with my mother's family for some time, but knew long in advance that he was going to marry my mother. And then after marriage, I was born shortly thereafter, and was working all the time, a hard-working individual, a tailor by trade, but then went into sales. He was an excellent salesman and was self-educated, learned to read and write English by himself, and went on to establish a fine name for himself in the Pittsburgh community. My sister was born 6 years later, and both my sister and I live in this city. And the background is one of a typical Jewish family that came from another country, took advantage of what the country had to offer, and I would say enjoyed their involvement here in this country. And That was our beginning. We had tough times during the Depression, and my folks did everything they possibly could to see that I started to college, got an education. My dad particularly wanted to be sure that I went to college, and even cashed in a $50 policy that my mother was paying for at 25 cents a week, mm-hmm. in order to give me the first dollars to pay down. And then I went to the old Iron Kaufman Center, where I was able to get a loan, scholarship loan from the IKC, and received $150 a year for 4 years. And, of course, after I was able to graduate college and came back from service, I paid it all back. And the wonderful part about it is about 10 years after that, I became chairman of the committee to give away the scholarship loans.
Could you tell me the name of your parents?
Max and Sarah, okay. S-A-R-I-H.
And they met in here, or
no,
did they meet there?
They met in Poland or Russia.
Uh-huh. And how did they happen to choose to come to Pittsburgh?
Well, her father and mother had come. She had come across the ocean with her father and mother. And her father, my grandfather, was taken in by a cousin who was already here.
I see.
They all lived together, then they began to separate, and then my dad came over, and as I say, he lived with them for a short while, mm-hmm. and then they were married, and that's the way it began.
What kind of sales did your dad go into?
Well, he was in hardware primarily.
I see. So he moved from tailoring to hardware.
That's right.
That's interesting. Was he one of these men who went around the community selling, or did he have a store?
No, he had no store. He went selling, and he went to sell primarily for an old firm at that time known as F&B Paper Company. Mm-hmm. It was Feinberg and Behrens.
Oh, my.
And that Behrens then split with Feinberg, and they still maintain the name of F&B, and that is today Action Industries. Mm-hmm. And that's Shoham Kome.
Oh, it's a long ways back.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Amos and my dad worked together in the store. Amos was in the business, mm-hmm. and my dad was on the road. But up until the time that Amos was killed, I mean, every time we met, he always remembered my dad was Shoham, and mm-hmm. said what a great man he was, and how they appreciated what each did for each other, and Dad had great respect for Amos. Mm-hmm. My dad passed away long before Amos died. Well, now I'm friendly with Shoham, I'm president of the American Jewish Committee, and so everything ties together in a very mm-hmm. provincial way.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell Behrens?
B-E-R-E-Z.
Behrens.
Yeah, Behrens.
Okay. Okay.
There's also Behrens in Pittsburgh, too, but I guess they're not.
Which one?
Behrens. I think there is a family in Squirrel Hill by that name.
Yeah, I think there is. Sure. Behrens is still CEO or something of that Action Industries, but Shoham Kome is the next shot.
Tell me, what was it like in Pittsburgh when you were growing up? What area did you live in? What was the general?
I recall primarily Reed Street up in the hill, and then from there over to Heron Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Then things got very bad at that point, and we had to move into a home behind my grandparents' store, an old rickety wooden home, until things began to improve a little bit. And I recall that my dad was out of work for some time, but a week before I was to become bar mitzvah, mm-hmm. and I was trained at the Hebrew Institute way on Wiley Avenue, a week before my bar mitzvah, and we had made no plans except for us to walk from my home on Heron Avenue down to Wiley Avenue to the Hebrew Institute, my dad got a call to get a job. And that made it sort of a very happy occasion, because I think he got an advance payment of $35 at that time, which helped pay for everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. And we had a pleasant bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather and I walked to the Hebrew Institute because he was Orthodox and wouldn't ride. And I worked in that store. It was Harry Hill 5 and 10, known as the Harry Hill 5 and 10 and Variety Store. Mm-hmm. And for each Saturday that I put in, I got 50 cents. But more important, at the end of the day, my grandmother, who could not write or read English, had me write a letter to her two daughters in Cleveland. She would speak in Yiddish, and I would translate, and then go ahead and write the letters, in which she usually enclosed $2 at that point as a matona, as a mm-hmm. gift, you know, for the week. And I had to listen to her in Yiddish, translate it in English, and then read it back to her before she mailed it. Mm-hmm.
Did you speak Yiddish in the family?
Yes,
was that the language that
she spoke Yiddish all the time, and so did my grandfather, and so I had to learn it.
Uh-huh. Did she ever learn English?
Yeah. No. Oh, she spoke English, but she could not write. In fact, one day, my grandfather said he would give me $5 if I could teach her to sign her name. But she never took the time.
That's
a great housewife, and that's all she wanted.
Uh-huh. So you had a Hebrew education here at Hebrew Institute.
Yes. In fact, strangely enough, my teacher was Henrietta Chalkner.
Oh, my.
And Henrietta Chalkner is a fine member of Rode of Shoham Temple, of which I was president of Rode of Shoham. And when she saw that I was president of Rode of Shoham, she said, I guess the things come back to haunt you.
Do you remember who headed Hebrew Institute at that time in the hill?
Who?
Headed it. Who was their director?
Oh, sure, that was Mr. Abrams.
Yes, the old
Mr. Abrams, Saul's mm-hmm. father. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Solomon. What was Mr. Abrams' first name?
I can't remember. I did know his name. I only know Solomon.
He was a very, very fine man. Yes. And we had a very fine school. Mm-hmm. And but I had to take a streetcar from Heron Avenue to Wiley Avenue, which in the daytime was not bad. Mm-hmm. But on the way back, I had to take that streetcar and come home at night. And I was mugged, I would say the word back then, at least twice a month by the black boys who would say, "How much money do you have?" I had 2 cents or 3 cents. They never beat me up, but they always took my money.
And the community center, that was Anna Heldman at that time.
Anna Heldman, I remember her very well.
You do.
Heavily, heavy woman, but a very fine woman. That was the whole center, I think.
Of Jewish life?
That's right, the IKC, everything. And Ziggy Kahn was the athletic director, and the whole world centered about that place. Mm-hmm. But the men who were on the scholarship committee, with Sidney Teller, were absolutely the finest. One of them was Mr. Russlander, S. Leo Russlander. And I recall him sitting across the table while my father and I were being interviewed for that loan. He said, "What do you want to be?" Because I had made the mistake of saying that I wanted to be a doctor, which then negated the opportunity to get a state scholarship. As soon as I marked that down on my paper, I was done. Because at that time, there was such a minimum number of Jewish boys who were allowed in medical school that they didn't even want you to start thinking about medical. Mm-hmm. And then when I switched to business,
it was a lot of
sorrow.
Was the Jewish community in the Hill, which I've heard many stories about, was it a close community?
Yes, yes it was.
It was.
Yes, it was.
Everybody knew everybody.
Everybody
else.
Knew everybody, and the better athletes I had seen play basketball and swim. Had a great swimming team, a great basketball team, and everything centered around that place and around the little shuls, the little synagogues in there.
Was the Ikes primarily a Jewish clientele at that time?
Except for the baby care. I think there was a medical baby care center which took care of, mm-hmm. of everybody. Mm-hmm. I think you paid a dollar for the health care.
I see. Tell me, you had a sister 6 years younger. Was that part of the life at that time that she too went to Hebrew Institute or not?
No, I think by that time, as a girl, the travel and so forth, she was not that much of a part of the IKC.
So there was no bat mitzvah or anything. How about Hebrew Institute? Did she study Hebrew?
No, she didn't.
Not at all.
She didn't.
Uh-huh.
She went on to become a very important person in the Pittsburgh public school system, and she retired about 3 years ago with a very fine job.
What was her name?
Her name at that time, her name is Lee, L-E-E, Slomberg, S-L-O-M-B-E-R-G.
Mm-hmm. And what did she do in the school?
Well, she started off as a teacher. Then she became an advisor. Mm-hmm. And then she went to the system and she worked on the she worked on the union negotiations. Mm-hmm. She was an important cog in union negotiations.
Yeah. Was there a lot of active unionism at that time? Or you don't?
I was not aware.
No.
My field turned into counting after serving in World War II, mm-hmm. and came back to begin my career as an accountant, and then as a teacher, and then as a certified public accountant.
I see. And your parents lived in the Hill, I guess, until you grew up?
No, we moved to Squirrel Hill We moved to Squirrel Hill because I never went to Allardyce, which means we moved to Squirrel Hill when I was going to Pitt.
I see. So they stayed
there. My sister, though, went to Heather Allardyce.
She did.
Yeah, so that's the way it worked. Time-wise, now I can recall. Uh-huh. That's the way it was.
Uh-huh. Was this a general mass exodus of Jews from the Hill around that time, or was it a slow process?
A slow movement. People were moving. improve their status and earn a little bit more money and pick up a house at a very, very low cost. I think my dad paid $5,500 for half a double. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went to Mira Street first, then we went to Beechwood Boulevard, and that's where my dad died. My mother lived there for a while, and then we had to, didn't want to be alone all the time. She went to live with my sister, and then from there she went to she's now a Jewish senior home. She went to the other section first, the Riverview,
yes,
where she enjoyed that very much, had her own room, you know, but until something, she had a slight stroke, and then she had to go over to the other place. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put this on the machine. We'll take that off for just a minute, and I'll tell you something else.
Turn it off for 1 minute. Yeah, you were telling us about your mother having entered the Jewish home. What is now the Jewish home for?
Yes, that's right. She, as I said, she was at the Riverview Center, the Riverview Housing Center, mm-hmm. where she was able to take care of herself. And I would, my sister came very often. I would come at least once a week, take care of the financial matters and so forth. And, she always felt I didn't come often enough anyway. It didn't matter. My sister was very good about it. Then we had to put her in the home, which we found to be a very favorable situation. She was well taken care of. And any time we made a comment or wanted something done, it was followed through. And I'm sorry to see that today the paper has some information about the provisional license or any deficiencies in the home. But I'm sure that they will be cleared up and that the license will be restored to its full benefit. I happen to have been on the board of the Jewish home for 3 years, but my term expired and I was not renominated.
Mm-hmm. But when you your mother needed the facilities, how was it getting her in? Because, you know, people have complained they have to wait a
true.
Long time.
I must be honest with you that... because of my position, when my mother was about to be taken in, they did ask me to make a contribution, mm-hmm. which I did. I paid one of the amount, $5,000 as a gift. And there's a plaque in their in my mother's name and my father's name on one of the rooms somewhere. I don't think I was pressured, mm-hmm. but I did it anyway.
Yeah. Tell me, when did your parents, your dad, first, you said died first, when did he pass away?
He died in 1975.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your mother?
She died.
I don't remember the date.
Mm-hmm. 1981, 82,
in the 80s. That's right. Uh-huh. You mentioned that Amos Comey, who your dad and so forth, there must have been many Pittsburghers in the Hill that are still around here that grew up with you that are known in the community now. Do you recall any of the names of those people?
I can't recall too many at this point because my involvement sort of pulled me away from those people. Mm-hmm. They may have passed on. I see some of them from time to time at various social functions, and I remember their face, but I can't remember the name. But I can't say that I'm friendly with anyone. Except one fellow with whom I became friendly at Shenley High School, Melvin Levine, mm-hmm. and he got married shortly after I got married, and that's been almost 50 years, so that we're still friends.
Good.
We went to Shenley together, went to Pitt together, mm-hmm. and children grew up together, and they're still very friendly, my two boys. Very friendly with their son and daughter, and I'm very, very pleased with that association.
Mm-hmm. Pitt must have been just going in if they paid $150
A semester. $300 a year. Yes. $10 of credit.
But that was a lot of money at the time.
Well, I had to borrow it.
You still had to borrow it. Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
I began in 35 and graduated in 39.
Mm-hmm. And then you went into the World War II?
No, I had a couple of years out, and then I enlisted in the Air Force. I didn't want to be drafted. Mm-hmm. Enlisted in the Air Force and was called back to duty in February of 1943. I was married in July in 1941. For some reason, they gave me a 3A deferral for a year, year and a half, and then I was called active duty in February of 43, and by the time my training was over, it was 1944, and I went overseas, and a navigator on a B-17 in the 8th Air Force, flew twice on D-Day, and recognized that Hitler had made a terrible mistake by not putting up any fighters, as we had clear skies all the way. The boys in the boats had trouble because it was a very rocky and stormy day, but we had no fighter problems whatsoever. That's why we came back, reloaded our bombs, and went back out again. Mm-hmm. And I saw all the streams of those boats. You know, if you saw D-Day,
yes,
the film, thousands of boats coming across. You see the flash of fire from the gunboats and so forth. Saw the kids coming across the beaches and so forth. I remember specifically, I wish I had saved a piece of paper. When I got into the airplane that morning, there was a letter from Dwight Eisenhower telling us that we were now beginning the freedom of the European nations.
And was your dad and mother were here when you left?
Oh yes, so was yes. My wife. My mother, my wife tells me that my dad went to the mail, didn't wait for the mailman. He went up to the mailbox, that mm-hmm. was to the post office every single day. Mm-hmm. And then for the 2 week period when prior to D-Day, when no mail was coming across, he would come up there, they'd say, no mail, no mail, no mail. Finally, the postman said to my dad, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There is no mail from the ETO to anybody. So your son's okay. I'm just telling you, there's no mail. Nobody in the whole Squirrel Hill is getting a piece of mail.
You had to convince him.
Had to convince him, otherwise he'd go to pieces. And another thing, when I came home, I came home early because of a very strange quirk in what the government always, they always do something strange. Like I was an accountant, and here I was flying B-17s, but because Patton had broken through and it looked like the war was coming to an end, they went through my 66-2 file, saw that I was an accountant, pulled me out of the airplane, and brought me home early to begin termination claims so that they wouldn't have to hire other people. So when I wrote and told my folks I was coming home, my dad broke through the lines at the Pennsylvania station to run out to the train to make sure I wasn't coming home injured, because he thought I was coming home and stuff like that.
So you had your CPA degree before you went into the Air Force?
No, I was just an accountant then.
I see.
But that was good enough. As long as I could add up a column of figures, that's all they were interested in.
So you left your wife and your parents and sister here when you went in the service.
Yes.
You didn't have any children at that time.
No, we had no
children. Could you tell us your wife's name?
Adele, A-D-E-L-E, Adele Mallinger. Okay.
Is she also a Pittsburgher?
Oh, yes.
Born and raised here, just as you were. How did you meet?
We met because my friend Melvin Levine lived next door to her up in Squirrel Hill. And one day I needed a date because he had one. He had the car. I didn't have a date. He said, why don't you take Adele next door? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, all right. So I called her and became friends. And then she went to Pitt and I went to Pitt. We came closer and then we decided to get married.
Uh-huh. So you both were in Pitt at the same year?
Yes.
I see.
She was a year behind me.
Uh-huh. And you got married Right after you finished school?
Almost. Well, no, I graduated in 39. We were married July 11th, 1941.
I see.
The war had broken out in Europe in 39, but we didn't go to war till December 7th, 1941. And we knew that we were going to be called. I knew I was going to be called somewhere. That's why I enlisted in the Air Corps and waited for a call.
You know, the feeling during Vietnam when the guys went off is different from the feeling today with this war.
Sure.
How about the feeling at that time in the community?
Oh, well, the feeling was that Hitler and the Japs had done, well, the Japs had done something outrageous, and that we were now in it, and we had to be in it, and we were hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, because of Hitler's unwilling to recognize the fact that he should have gone into England when he had Dunkirk, could have taken England without any trouble at all. He just made terrible tactical mistakes because of his ego. That's all it was, a matter of ego.
But you felt supported when you left.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't that
People, when I went to the train that night, there were hundreds of people in the street.
Really?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And when you got into the Air Force, did you find that it was acceptable that you, as a young Jewish man?
I had no problem.
Never had any kinds of problems that way.
I had no problem. We were all knew that we were going to, some of us were going to be lucky and come home, and some of us were going to die, so there was no.
It was kind of an acceptance.
However, I can recall now, I didn't see very many blacks.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about the Air Force.
That's
yes,
right.
That may have been some of the difference at that time. The land forces may have had more blacks.
And the Army moves in craziest ways. One weekend, my wife was supposed to come down from Cincinnati to see me in Nashville, and that morning that she was on the train coming down, I got orders to leave that night. So I had to send a friend of mine to the train to meet her and tell her to go back to Cincinnati because I didn't know where I was going to end up. But then we got together and got my wings, and we were able to spend time in Florida while I was training. And from there we went to several other places together. Then we went to Brooklyn, and then I shipped over from Brooklyn.
I see. But you knew you had to be out of New York. That's why you went to Brooklyn?
Well,
was
they
that
sent me there because I was a shipping point. I got on a boat one morning. Every night when I, every morning when I left for Fort Hamilton, I told Adele, I don't know whether I'm coming back. The orders were very secretive. We could have been just pulled right out that afternoon, gotten on a boat, and be on our way.
They didn't have reporters' conferences as they do today.
No,
airings of what's going on when you're leaving.
But I was well treated in the service as an Air Force lieutenant. Had the best meals because they figured that was the last we were going to have anyway.
Yes.
We had eggs, we had fresh meat. My first mission was to Germany, to Berlin. Got up there and they opened up that big screen and said, "Well, we're going for the big one today." All the way across.
Did you have Jewish chaplains there?
Oh, yes. Yes. But I also had a very dear Catholic friend. So all he wanted to do was finish his missions, and all he wanted to do was go back to New York and become a policeman. His name was Rafferty, because Raisman, Rafferty, you know, everything was alphabetical.
Yeah.
And the poor kid was on a plane that was shot down. They never found him. And when I got back from the service, I made an appointment to travel to New York and find his mother and tell her what a wonderful boy he was. She appreciated that.
Oh, well, I'm sure she did.
I brought back the medals and some other things.
When were you finally discharged?
Oh, I wasn't discharged until 1947.
Wow. So you stayed in because you were
well,
a captain?
That's right. They kept me there. I had enough points, but they wouldn't let me go. Well, by giving up being overseas, I had to extend my service.
By giving up being overseas.
Yeah. Well, all the time you know, that you got home early.
That's right. I got home early, and they said to me, listen, you want to go back and get more points? I said, never mind.
Mm-hmm. They didn't count it that you were.
No, they needed me there. They needed me there. And when the war ended, then we became very, very busy.
Could you explain what you meant by points?
Well, you needed a certain number of points to be discharged, which means the number of months you were in service.
I see.
Each month was worth a point. You needed like 60, 65, something like that. I had enough points, but they wouldn't let me go because of what I was doing. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your feelings on D-Day?
Oh, yes. They were just ecstatic. Very excited. Everybody was downtown Detroit. That's where I was. We ran down the street, and we just, everybody was just hugging and kissing everybody else. And it was just a very, very wonderful time.
Was your wife in Detroit?
We were all together. Once I came back from overseas, I went into training in Dayton, Ohio, and from there shipped out to Detroit. She followed me. In fact, my first son was born in Detroit.
Oh, so you were there for 2 years.
Oh, at least.
When did you then start to CPA, to get your CPA?
Almost immediately.
In Detroit?
Well, I was picking up time, and then when I came back to the service, well, came back to Pittsburgh, then I worked for a while for a couple of CPA firms, mm-hmm. and then sat in the
family. Mm-hmm. I think the sides.
We're going to change sides.